Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this second Sunday of Advent. I'm really happy to see all of you here today. I have a few announcements. For one, we have started our Advent Sunday School. That is at 9:15 in the library. And next week, we get to talk about one of my favorite things, joy. there are Advent devotionals that have been sent out by our secretary, Allison. She sends it out at the end of each week one week at a time for the following week. There are a few printed copies available in the back for those of you without printers. Poinsettia orders are due today after service. That's your last chance. No more. Like, that's what you get. They're red, pink, and white, and they're $7 each. There will be a congregational meeting after worship next week, and that will be to approve the 2023 budget and the slate of officers. And then the following week is Jesus' birthday party. We'll have a potluck after worship on the 18th. If you want to participate in the gift exchange, bring a gift of no more than $10. We will have Christmas Eve worship at 7 p.m. I do still need a candle lighter for that service. So if you're interested, please see me or sign up in the back. And then Christmas Day is a Sunday. We're going to have worship that day. But it'll be at 9:30, and it'll be shorter, and you can wear your pajamas. Church-appropriate pajamas, please. So just notice the different time on Christmas Day. That'll be at 9:30. Okay? What am I missing?
Angel tree gifts.
The angel tree gifts. Your angel tree gifts, if you picked up an angel from the tree, your gifts are due on the 18th. Wrapped.
With the angel tag attached.
So that, you know, the right person can get the right gifts. Anything else?
There will be an offer.
Oh, yeah. The bulletin, for some reason, doesn't have the offering listed. There will be an offering, I promise you. And I'll let you know. I'll let you know when that happens. All right. With that in mind, let us gather together and proclaim our readiness to worship God with our call to worship. In the midst of suffering and despair, God's prophet cries comfort. Amid all that causes us pain, that brings us to tears, God's care falls over us like a gentle rain. In this season of short days and long nights, we are called to tend to each other. On this second Sunday of Advent, we give thanks for God's compassion for us. Let us now rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn. friends, our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Let us embrace this time of confession with honesty and humility. God of hope, you promise a new and different way of life, and you invite us to join you on the path to get there. Yet we usually prefer to stay on our own path. We put ourselves before others and so destroy the gift of life in each of us. We fill our days with human pessimism, assuming that nothing will ever get better, rather than welcoming your divine hope. Forgive us, Lord. Show us your hope anew in Jesus this Advent, that we might see your branch sprouting anew in our midst and fill our lives and the whole earth with our embrace of you. We confess, and so we rejoice, for God has accepted us for who we are and claimed us as God's own children. We lift our praise to God, who fills us with hope and grace. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Thank you. battling inner turmoil,
Christ is coming to bring peace.
Today, we light two candles. The first is the light of hope. The second is the symbol of peace. We remember what God said to the shepherds on the night of Christ's birth, promising peace on earth and goodwill to all the people of the earth. May we become the instruments to fulfill this promise.
We have several people we ought to be praying for today. First, there are several people in our congregation who have been affected by the flu and have just been having a real tough time with it. I've heard that this season of flu and RSV and COVID, like, people are having a real tough time. So if we could just keep everyone in our prayers for health and healing, that would be much appreciated. And also just a reminder, if you are not feeling well for any reason, please do not come to church. Even though sharing is caring, I don't want that. We have a great joy. We have been praying for Tweety, AJ's daughter Andrea, for several weeks now. And thanks be to God, Tweety is back in her residence and she is doing well. That's just a huge relief for the whole family. And AJ, thanks all of us for the prayers and the concern. Roy Weckerly has a knee surgery coming up on Tuesday, so please keep him in your prayers and all of the surgeons, physicians, nurses, all of them, guide all of their hands for a successful knee replacement. There are also prayers here for Lauren Murphy, Lois Lysak's sister. She has Sjogren's autoimmune disease and an interstitial lung disease, and the combination of the two are really weighing heavily on Lauren, and prayers for healing and comfort. I think it's also causing Lois a bit of anxiety, so if we could keep her in her prayers too. So for our prayers today, I know you're not used to doing this, but we're going to do a little responsiveness. So whenever you hear me say, "Hear us, O God," you will respond, "Your mercy is great." Okay? Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We come to you this day, O God, with a deepening anticipation of your birth among us. We thank you for the gift of your love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
We pray for the church throughout the world and for all the ministries that build up the body of Christ, that in our many vocations we may serve to your glory. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for this nation and for all nations, remembering especially those who are victims of political and social injustice. We pray for elected officials and all leaders that they will govern with courage and equity. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for all in need, for the sick, the destitute, the dying, for strangers in our land, for the invisible ones, for the elderly and children, for parents and grandparents, for those who live alone and those who live lonely in the midst of family. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We remember with mercy those who sleep without shelter, cold and vulnerable, lacking enough food, those who are overworked and those who have no work. Stir up in us the capacity to see ourselves in the struggles and to act so that others may have life abundant. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We pray for this community, for our neighbors and friends, and for those with whom we study and work. Guide and strengthen all people in our common life to know the gifts of your grace and love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. May all that we ask and all that you see is needed in our world be given to your people. We ask these things through Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in singing our hymn of praise. Hymn of meditation. Be seated. This is the offering time that is not in the bulletin, but we will not leave out. God gives us abundance, and let us respond to God's generosity with our own abundant giving. mercy, accept these gifts and multiply them for Christ's mission of love and grace for all the world. Amen.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is Matthew 3, 1 to 12, and this is taken from the Message. While Jesus was living in the Galilean hills, John called the baptizer, was preaching in the desert country of Judea. His message was simple and austere, like his desert surroundings. Change your life. God's kingdom is here. John and his message were authorized by Isaiah's prophecy. Thunder in the desert. Prepare for God's arrival. Make the road smooth and straight. John dressed in a camel hair habit tied at the waist by a leather strap. He lived on a diet of locusts and wild field honey. People poured out of Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordanian hillside to hear and see him in action. There at the Jordan River, those who came to confess their sins were baptized into a changed life. When John realized that a lot of the Pharisees and Sadducees were showing up for a baptismal experience because it was becoming the popular thing to do, he exploded. Brood of snakes, what do you think you're doing slithering down here to the river? Do you think a little water on your snake skins is going to make any difference? It's your life that must change, not your skin. And don't think you can pull rank by claiming Abraham as father. Being a descendant of Abraham is neither here nor there. Descendants of Abraham are a dime a dozen. What counts is your life. Is it green and flourishing? Because if it's dead wood, it goes on the fire. I'm baptizing you here in the river, turning your old life in for a kingdom life. The real action comes next. The main character in this drama, compared to him, I'm a mere stagehand, will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. He's going to clean house, make a clean sweep of your lives. He'll place everything true in its proper place before God. Everything false, he'll put out with the trash to be burned. This is the reading of the word.
Thanks. Please pray with me. Savior God, guide us by your word and spirit that we might hear your truth, heed your call, and be prepared for Christ's birth this Christmas. Amen. So I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with something on the internet called clickbait. It's when you come across an article and there's this really especially captivating headline, and it makes you really want to click on that link and read it and hear all about it. But when you do click, you find that the article is nothing like what the headline or the picture shows. I find it happens a lot with recipes. It'll say something like, your family will love this delicious one-pot meal with only 3 ingredients. And when you get to the article, it's filled with advertisements and a long, drawn-out story about the author and their family and a semi-funny anecdote about their childhood gerbil and like how they learned to ride a unicycle. I don't know. Finally, at the very end, there's a list of ingredients that is most certainly longer than 3. And the dish takes at least 1.5 hours to prepare, and that's, you know, including all of the, you know, chopping and just things like that. And it also requires several specialized kitchen gadgets. Ultimately, the recipe is usually worth it, but it took a lot longer to get there than anticipated. It's kind of like what John the Baptist was doing. It's also kind of like this sermon. I'll give you a little spoiler, though. There is one thing you can do to change your life for the better. But it is not easy, and it is not quick. It's actually pretty complicated. And you're going to have to come back to this one step over and over and over again. But then again, those things in life that are worth it are rarely quick or easy. Perhaps you noticed that we read the Message version of the Bible this morning. It's not linguistically accurate. That translation is more of a paraphrase. But it still gets to the point. It's still honest and faithful to the gospel. And I think that looking at a different version of scriptures really helps us avoid getting too familiar with a passage. And I think that the Message does a good job here showing us the heart of what John the Baptist was getting at. Basically, John the Baptist is telling people to come to him, that the kingdom of God is near. And because the kingdom of God is near, we have to change the way we live. We can't just rely on our ancestry. We have to make real, lasting changes to make our lives flourish. He proposed baptism in the Jordan River as a symbol of this new beginning. But there was and is much, much more involved. Also, that's the Jordan River. I don't know how many of you want to go in there and feel like you came out clean. I don't. But that's out on the margins where John lived. John lived on the margins. And what's interesting is that in the ancient world, power was like concentrated in these center cities. They had the temples and the imperial buildings. It's where taxes were collected. It's where people who lived on the outskirts would come in order to get the things that they wanted. To have anything done, you had to go travel into the center of the city. But John was outside in the countryside, in the wilderness. And people were traveling from the city out to him. John eats the food of the poor, locusts, any wild honey that he happens to find around. He wears clothing of the poor, a common camel's hair tunic. He doesn't have connections of power, unless, of course, you consider his cousin Jesus. He's not a high priest. And yet, he spends his time baptizing people who confess their sins. And that's a redemptive activity that is usually reserved for the temple and for the high priests. You can see that he's probably stepping on a few toes here, causing some animosity and strife. Was baptism in the Jordan the life-changing activity? Was going into that really gross water and coming out, was that what changed your life? I mean, there were and there still are plenty of ritual washings in the Jewish community. You know, those types of practice probably influenced John on some level. But what he was offering was a once and for all baptism. Was it the confessing of sins that made people's lives better? Perhaps. I mean, at the very least, when we confess our sins, we recognize how we contribute to strife and that we are our own worst enemies. Eventually, the Pharisees and the Sadducees catch wind of all the people heading out to the Jordan in the wilderness, and they wanted to check this out. The fact that John might have been seen as a threat to their priestly powers might have had something to do with it, too. Because if people wanted to go see John instead of going to the temple for baptism, they wouldn't be needed anymore. John is one step ahead of them. He strikes before they do. He calls them a brood of vipers. This isn't just an insult, but a description of the priests as predatory, poisonous, false teachers. And John tells them and us, you can't just get a little bit of water on you and think you're saved. And the fact that they're descendants of Abraham, that's not going to help them either. They have to make real, continuous changes to how they live. And we've got to do it soon. Traditionally, in the Christian community, Advent is a time of preparation. We're setting aside this time to consider the full significance of what God has done for us in Jesus. It's a practice that, quite honestly, stands in tension with our culture. In our consumer society, preparing for Christmas means shopping, hanging lights, shopping, listening to cheery music, shopping. All of that in an effort to satisfy our own ideals and longings. We're not envisioning the promises of God. John calls the people of Israel, and we are also called to an entirely different type of preparation. The promises of God that are coming to fulfillment in Christ, that should compel us to confess our sins, to examine ourselves, and ask, am I really bearing good fruit? And if we're not, honestly, none of us are bearing good fruit all of the time. If we're not bearing good fruit, we need to repent. Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what does repentance mean? Is it just feeling sorry for our mistakes? Because I do. I feel real bad about my mistakes. Keeps me up until 3 o'clock in the morning thinking about that thing that I said when I was in third grade. Is it trying to be a better person? I don't know. I try real hard to do that too. John and Advent remind us that repentance isn't about our standards of moral worthiness, but about God's desire to realign us with Christ's life. Repentance isn't about guilt. It's about God's power to transform us, to change us into Christ's image. So yes, you can change your life in one step. Repentance. But that step is hardly easy. Repentance is going back to look. That repentance is, and that going back is that's going to look a lot different for each one of us. And none of us can do it through our own efforts. But thankfully, we have a God who loves us so much that we are given Christ. A Christ that we can trust is working to purify us and the whole world to become a dwelling place fit for himself. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now please rise as you're able for our communion hymn. We're going to sing 1, 2, and 4.
Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God, our Creator, Ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, martyrs, and with all of the faithful of every time and every place who forever say, and to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth. Comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising, and we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these, your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time that you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. It is our tradition in this church that we pass out the bread, we all take it at the same, hold it, and then we take it at the same time, and we do the same with the cup.
Thank you.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, uniting us with Christ and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn while we are waiting. Come. Before we go out into the world, let me give you a charge and blessing. Prepare the way of the Lord with your repentance, with your forgiveness of others, with your ministries of compassion and grace. May God's grace, Christ's peace, and the Spirit's guidance be with you today and always. Amen. Amen.